The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is the Peter Boyle Show.
Friday morning, everyone, October the 30th, the day before Halloween. If you're not scared, wait for Election Day. October 30th, 2020, 710 KNUS, the voice of the people. Good one, 65 the high today. Tomorrow, Halloween, 56 degrees. 63 degrees on Sunday. Back to work Monday, 70 degrees. Follows in the air. We're turning the clocks. All is well in the world, 710 KNUS. Tom has the news, and good morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Peter. Good morning to you. 24-year-old Drayon Deering has been found guilty of first-degree murder of Adams County Deputy Heath Gum and sentenced to life in prison without parole. Deering was also found guilty of first-degree burglary, and he pleaded guilty to possession of a weapon by a previous offender. This news is sponsored by Rocket Mortgage. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Rocket Mortgage. The husband of Denver District Attorney Beth McCann, Christopher Linsmeyer, has been referred to the grand jury, the Grand County District Attorney's Office, for investigation into violating a fire ban close to where the East Troublesome Fire is burning. The sheriff's office says deputies responded to multiple unattended small fires burning near a home in a subdivision. Deputies tried unsuccessfully to find the property owner, only later identifying the owner as Linsmeyer. He had reportedly left the home earlier in the morning. I should say Grand County, not grand jury.
Either way.
Yeah, either way.
He ran out.
Guess what? Yes.
He copped a walk. He got out of town.
Yes, he did.
Let's see what happens.
Okay. Nearly 600,000 Coloradans have signed up for the new COVID-19 smartphone notification system, which was rolled out on Sunday. The system allows users to be notified when they've been in close contact with another user who has tested positive for coronavirus. The Trump administration removes endangered species rules for the gray wolf. After 45 years of protected status, they can now be hunted, even as Colorado voters consider Proposition 114, a statewide initiative that would allow the repopulation of gray wolves on the western slope. Law enforcement agencies statewide will be on heightened alert for potentially impaired drivers over Halloween weekend. The special enforcement period runs through Monday. More than 87,000 new cases of the coronavirus were reported yesterday in the U.S., the most since the pandemic began. It breaks a record set less than a week ago when most states seeing a surge in cases, with most states seeing a surge in cases. More than 1,800 cases were reported in Colorado. Stronger than expected GDP data curbed losses on European stock markets today, but U.S. stock futures point to a continued sell-off. Stocks opened down in London and Frankfurt and mixed in Paris. The market rout had continued in Asia overnight. Japan's Nikkei ended its worst week in 3 months. On Wall Street, S&P futures are down 8.89%. Dow futures are down 0.95%. NASDAQ futures are down 1.24%. And that, Pete, is the bad news.
Morning, everyone. 4 after the hour, Friday morning, October 30th. Tomorrow, Halloween. Nice looking day, 65, the high, 56 tomorrow. 303-696-1971. Love Halloween. And everybody's getting cheated out of Halloween this year. There's not going to be much Halloween, but Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And we've talked about it many, many times. How much, I mean, I truly loved Halloween. Still do. But all the trick and treat stuff, I don't know if anybody's. Billy, what are your kids going to do? Billy's kids are, he still has some kids high school and he has some middle school kids.
My high schooler is going to a Halloween party that has seven other kids, his friends. They're just going to hang out. And the girls are staying home. In fact, yesterday they were talking about how angry and frustrated they were that they just don't get to do it. But none of their friends are going to go out. There aren't going to be a lot. We don't anticipate much in terms of kids wandering around our neighborhood. And our neighborhood is packed with children. I mean, we live several blocks from elementary school. So our neighborhood is absolutely, it's easier to point out the houses that don't have kids and the houses that do. So all the houses, we haven't seen much. We know there's one person that's a friend of ours. They've set up a PVC pipe that we've already seen on their porch to deliver candy. You know, they basically, it's just a PVC pipe that's probably about 5 feet long. They put an elbow on one end that points up, an elbow on the other end that points down.
Wait a minute, that's
so
a,
you drop it at the top and it goes down and then falls into the bag.
It's like buying drugs in New York City.
Exactly.
I get it. All right.
And so maybe that's where my friend got the idea.
Sure.
You never know. I'm not going to ask, though. You know?
Who is it?
Exactly. Dave's not here, man.
That's right. Dave's not here.
And so that's all they're going to do.
Wait a minute, stop.
Yeah, although I will tell you this, though, that my kids, the reason they they're telling me in advance that they're not going out or anything is because we bought two giant bags of candy.
Oh, did you buy? Yeah, well,
they finished one bag. We're like 3/4 way through the second bag. If anybody shows up tomorrow, I've got bupkis.
Did you buy?
I'm going to be handing them apples. They're going to throw stuff at me.
I hated apples.
Me too. Or a box of raisins.
Oranges. Yeah, come on.
The worst for the toothbrush.
Did you guys buy candy for kids?
You know what? We haven't yet.
Yeah.
I asked Donna yesterday. Right. We got candy. She says, I don't know.
I went and bought extra candy yesterday and I hid it. It's in the garage. But they don't know about it. Otherwise, they're going to eat it.
The little guys are, nobody does the big guy candy bars.
Yeah, no.
What kind of candy?
I don't know. What I did is I went with, it was a bag that had, it said it had 210 pieces inside, and it was the chocolate mix, and so it was the Mars one. So it's
Mars.
So it's Mars. It's it's M&M's. It's Twix. It's Snickers.
Man.
Milky Way. So it's all those ones, and then the second bag has got like 180 pieces in it because they're both like $15.
See?
They're giant ones, and that has the Sour Patch Kids, the Swedish Fish and the mini Oreos. So that's what we do as far as a grouping, and that's kind of hits to all areas.
Whoa.
Kids like those. So yeah.
See, how cool is that?
Plus they're also stuff likes that daddy's afterwards.
I like the pipe deal. No, wait a minute. So the kid comes.
Yeah. And it's, they've got to walk upstairs. So it's probably 5 steps going up. Maybe it's like a 5-foot long PVC tube.
Right.
And it's wide enough where you could literally throw your arm through it. So it's just, all they did is white plastic PVC tube. Yeah. And they put elbows on either end and they painted it bright orange. And they've used zip ties to tie it to the banister that's going up and down their porch. And they've got chairs there. So I'm assuming they'll sit there. And so the elbow at the top, faces up and they drop it in and then it slides down and the elbow at the bottom faces down. So it'll just drop right into the bag.
So
it's a great idea.
The kid on the other end says, how many times you step on this before you send it to me?
Yeah. Exactly. My kid suggested we do slingshots. And I'm like, we can't do slingshots.
No, I mean,
I know. That's my kids. My kids are like, come on, let's slingshot the candy to the kids.
I'm starting to like that. So you haven't gone out and bought candy.
No.
Candy, but you've been eating it.
Well, they're eating it, but I'm hiding candy. I stopped yesterday because I saw where the bag was yesterday morning.
Okay.
And I'm like, one bag's empty, and the other one's like 3/4 of the way gone. So I knew that we were going to be out of this stuff. So I went and I hit the store after the show yesterday morning, and those two bags are sitting in the garage.
See,
they're hiding. We'll bring those out tomorrow.
It was like we made jokes at Easter. Guys like me could hide the eggs from myself. But
yeah.
I don't know. I would suspect that there would be little, if any, Halloweening effort. But, man.
You have candy? Have you bought it?
Yeah. But we're going to end up, put it in a bowl.
Yeah.
And, and it'd be cool if somebody comes to the door. But I doubt it. We were talking about it. I doubt it.
Right.
But put it outside in the bowl, and chances are real good the next morning it'll all be outside in the bowl.
Yeah.
There's a couple little kids that are really close to us, and they're little twin kids, and they're great, and we'll say hi, but, their folks are worried about COVID, as everybody's worried about COVID.
Sure.
So I don't think we'll be seeing
a ton. Expect Cherry Creek School District at the end of next week or so to announce they're going virtual. My kids have their virtual learning plans already in place. And so they're right now they've got kids going 2 days a week. So that's how serious it's getting as far as exposure and parents. Because of that coming, I believe, that parents are going to even pull back even more, at least inside the Cherry Creek School District, because all those children now will have gotten their virtual at-home learning plans. Mm. And that's kind of a reminder to the parents going, yeah, this thing's still running wild with lots of kids.
I mean, I can remember Halloween's. We were talking about it yesterday. I had the best lunch yesterday. This is like the all-time come-together lunch. Tom Martino, Randy Corcoran, and me. You could have sold tickets to it. Uh-huh. It started out with Randy and I because we had really a good go-round on the radio show yesterday. I said, we'd get together for lunch. And then I'm done in the gym, and my phone goes off, and it's Martino. Where are you? And I said, well, I'm here. And he said, well, I'm really close by. He said, let's get some lunch. I said, well, I got Randy coming for lunch. Said, well, great. I know Randy. So the three of us had lunch, and we talked a lot about talk radio. But then we were talking about, the ghost of Christmas past and, what used to be, what the radio business used to be. And kind of, Randy, who's a sponge about learning how to do this business. Mm. And Randy, although, Randy's not a kid, but he came into the business, much later.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the radio business and telling stories. And I was just crying the funny stuff. But we always spent the night before Halloween in haunted houses, and Tommy brought that up. Remember when you did? I said, I remember when I did. So we're trying to get a hold of Daryl Luby. We've been changing phone calls. I talked to Daryl, and he said, I'll do the show. And he and Billy have exchanged phone calls now a couple of times. We'll catch him, and he's on the show. Julie Hayden's on the show this morning. I just want to do the rundown. Yesterday, in quite a turn, the Denver judge does not believe the security guard's self-defense claim. This is a slap in the face of Channel 9, you guys. Channel 9 has been trotting out Mitch Morrissey and Stanley, and they're trying to build. What Channel 9 is trying to do is build for Kyle Clark and the rest of the politically correct little reporters and reporterettes that work at Channel 9. They've already begun this, it was self-defense. Matthew Dolloff was a self-defense shooting. Yesterday, that judge says no, and he refuses to reduce the bail. He doesn't buy the self-defense claim. Julie and I spoke about this for about 45 minutes, an hour last night. This is huge. This is really a slap in the face of Channel 9. So Julie's on the show. Dave Gruber's on the show. Historian Dr. Tom Noel's on the show. We will get Daryl on the show to talk about the adventures. And I love Halloween. I loved everything about Halloween, still do. And many, 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 many years ago, radio years ago, which is like dog years, they're a lot different.
Yeah.
And I was working, I'm trying to think, maybe was I working here? And I thought, wow, how cool would it be? Or maybe I was working for Chris Olinger and Lee. How cool would it be to go spend a night in a haunted house? And the first time I went on my own. And I'm trying to remember, Ward Lucas and I, and the late Alan Dumas, and Jim Turner, former Bronco kicker, Jim Turner. We all went out to this guy's place who had these paranormal activities. It was in the summertime. It was not during Halloween. And we had this amazing night that we've all spoken about, and Ward's spoken about it. Ward Lucas has spoken about it. He went with us. And then I said, that's not a bad idea. And I tried to drum up the idea of spending the night, because how many movies in the 50s were the night in a haunted house, like all of them. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I'll go. And I went alone. I think the first one I went and slept in the haunted house alone. And then I was working with the two of the very best. I mean, still Kenny Danen and Daryl Luby. Mm. And we worked for Chris and Lee, who were, go ahead, Peter, if you think it's going to work. And we started finding haunted houses and spending the nights before Halloween. And actually, Brian Taylor, we did a couple here and now because of the COVID. Yes. We did one more last year. And then we'll put the band together one more time. And we had a great time. And now, of course, that's out. So Daryl and I and Kenny and plenty of people went. And Scott Hastings, we were trying to get a hold of Scotty. Because Scotty went on some of those, legendary broadcaster and pro basketball player, and Scott Hastings loved Halloween. Scotty was always good. Come on, let's go, Scotty. Okay, man, let's go. So we'll talk. We'll get an update with Daryl about those things. Also, Billy Joe Shaver died. Those of you who listened, we lost Jerry Jeff Walker a couple of days ago, and I mean, I love Jerry Jeff. And just was crazy about Jerry Jeff Walker, about his music. But there's a songwriter by the name of Billy Joe Shaver. And Billy Joe died. And I saw it just on a wire service thing last night, a little blip. But Billy Joe, if you loved outlaw music and outlaw country music, that was Billy Joe's music. And he wrote music for the Allman Brothers. I mean, he wrote music for Waylon Jennings. He wrote music for Tom Paul Glazer. He did his own music. And for those of you who, like me, love that kind, now we've lost Billy Joe. And going to Georgia on a fast train. And on my motorcycle, I have a sound system that's in the fairing. And that song, Fast Train, Honey, I Wasn't Born No Yesterday, and, Good Christian Raised in Eighth Grade Education. You know, he wrote stuff like that. And he was just brilliant. And Willie the Wandering Gypsy and Me, and just one of those guys. And they were home with the armadillo. You know, they really were. They were. We lost Waylon now, and yeah. Willie's no kid anymore. And now Billy Joe's gone. He was 81. And Jerry Jeff, I think, was 78 when he died. But, boy, those guys. And they really were the cutting edge of the outlaw movement of country music. And I was lucky enough to be able to work with Bob Lee on KLEK Radio. And it was a country station. And it was coming off of what was called Countrypolitan, where the – everybody in the band wore the same kind of suit, They were those nudie suits, and they were Spangled and right. Ray Price, I mean, great legendary singers. Uh-huh. But then comes this movement, principally out of Texas, and they're the Outlaws. Mm-hmm. And it's the Tom Paul and the Glazers and Willie Waylon, Jesse Colder, David Allen Coe, Billy Joe. I mean, all those guys showed up, the Burrito Brothers. They were just, to a degree, the Allman Brothers and those Southern bands. They were Leonard Skinner, Marshall Tucker. And in the middle of all of this is this old, remarkable songwriter, Billy Joe Shaver. And Billy Joe did Honky Tonk Heroes like me. And I loved all that stuff. And he's now gone. And Jerry Jeff goes before him. And you think about that. Man, that's the end of an era.
Yeah, who's left?
Well, Willie.
Yeah, Willie's left.
Willie and Tom Paul Glazer's alive. Yeah. David Allen Coe, but David's, I'm told David's, struggles. Mm-hmm. I love David Allen Coe. I mean, anybody doesn't like David Allen Coe. But, and it's kind of coming to an end. And we talk about music every once in a while, but modern country music, to me, sounds like 50s rock and roll. I mean, the same guitar riffs and the same backbeats and the same kinds of vocals. And I think it's come full circle that when I listen to country music, but it's now 50s rock and roll. Mm. But these guys that took that centerpiece, and I do believe that Travolta, we were talking about this over at lunch and then after lunch, Travolta did two things. And when he did Saturday Night Fever, he brings in disco. But when he does... when they're in Texas, and he does Urban Cowboy. And the soundtrack to Urban Cowboy is all those guys. I mean, it's – and also, when he does Hello, Texas, and they're all Texas guys. And they're all like – they're really just amazing. Jerry Jeff was born in New York, but,
Now, Peter, you're right about, as far as country radio. And I see the insight when you talk about it being – 50s rock and roll, because country right now, for about the last decade, there's been a huge schism inside of the genre as far as regular country and then pop country.
Yeah.
And you have some of the more traditional artists, the Keith Urbans, the Tim McGraws are actually going into the pop genre because you can sell more tickets. And, the popper, the Carrie Underwoods, when Taylor Swift was still country, if you go to her album Red, even though it was considered a country album, go back and listen to it now, that's a pop album.
Well, sure.
That she's just singing. In a country voice.
Sure.
You can go through a lot of other Florida Georgia Line. They're barely a country band.
Great.
But yet again, they're viewed as country. So, yeah, there is this huge pop schism.
She ain't Kitty Wells.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. But, yeah, you're right.
Love Kitty Wells.
Yeah, and so they are taking a lot of that. And so the 50s rock and roll, which at time was more or less getting into the pop in that era. Yeah. So that's where they're drawn from.
I mean, like Bob Wills and the Playboy Band, any of those guys, Waltz Across Texas, and I didn't grow up with any of that stuff. I mean, I had an uncle that liked country, but, we grew up with rhythm and blues, black rock and roll. And for some place, I think there's a I know there's a crossover between those guys because, you know, country music was always known as the white man's blues. Yeah. I mean, it was it was, you know, what it was. And but there was this tie-in, I think, that they're kind of saying the same things or maybe saying them a little differently, but they're saying the same things. When you listen to, you know, the really, you know, the old blues guys and they're, you know, and then you listen to, you know, any of the other guys, Hank Williams. Hank Williams wrote My Life Story. You know, it's like people said that. And they could relate to what Hank said. Elvis. Yeah. And early Elvis.
Sure.
Till Tom Parker ruined Elvis. And he did. But, you know, Elvis, what was the great line that they said? We're looking for a white kid that sounds black.
Yeah.
They found him. Yep. They found Elvis.
That's right.
So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to this. But anyhow, Billy Joe's gone. And, you know, meaningless perhaps to a lot of people. But, man, he was instrumental. We lost Jerry Jeff earlier in the week. It is Halloween. We have a lot to talk about this morning on the radio show. It is election coming up. We've had some knockdown, drag-out radio shows the last couple of days, and they've been fun. So that's like, here we go again. That's what I was – Randy and I were talking. I love Randy. We're going to ride motorcycles today, I hope. But he came to lunch on his motorcycle. I said, hey, you won me over. So anyhow, so there we are, 303-696-1971. What did Halloween mean to you? I mean, it was the gateway holiday. If you had Halloween, you were in the channel for Christmas, not for Christmas, but for Thanksgiving. If you hit Thanksgiving, you had Christmas. And then you went to the doldrums, you know, through all the rest of that stuff until the sun came back.
Yeah.
But it's really a great time. And we push the clocks again this weekend. But we're not going to have Halloween this year. It's gone. And I don't know, but going door to door and getting candy from people, man.
Yeah, we need to get some candy because there's probably going to be bad if people show up to the door and we say, well, no, nobody's coming. And they do, and I don't have any candy.
Give them money.
Yeah, I guess.
Here's a dollar. Coffee mugs.
Yeah.
Clean up the coffee mugs.
Give them a beer.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Hiya, kids.
There you go.
Say, give us to dad.
Yeah, I'll bet a beer. Yeah, give it. Where's your dad in the car? Yeah, go give him a beer. But I just think that, you know, a lot of that stuff now is gone.
Yeah.
You know, what was that line? A piece of America is gone. And
at least temporarily.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows what the outcome will be on Tuesday. But we could lose a lot of America if things go wrong on Tuesday.
Oh, boy.
So we're at a real – there's a crossroads. And I think the country's been at this crossroads now for at least a decade. And the turn will be made or we will continue straight ahead, but we won't know. Well, you know, I had a phone call yesterday. I spoke with Dean Singleton. We must have talked for an hour. And he says he'll come on the day after the election. And we were talking about, you know, what we've talked about here. He's a listener. Republican Party, Corey Voorhees, the outcome of all of that. And one of the points that was made, and it was so, it just jumped off. Donald Trump doesn't come to Colorado. He doesn't campaign here.
And that's true.
Because of the Republican Party of Colorado. Mm. He doesn't come here. So for all the insanity and all the anger and all the calling and screaming and emailing, ask yourself this. Why doesn't Donald Trump campaign in Colorado? Because he's not wanted here. That's the truth. You say what you want to say, do what you want to do. Numbers don't lie. Donald Trump came here once. Not one Republican showed up to stand next to him, and he never came back. And now you're going to go out there and scream at this radio show about what's going to happen in the state of Colorado GOP. Why, I love Donald Trump. Why did Donald Trump never come back to Colorado? Dean Singleton said it. Why didn't he come back? Why has he not came? He's been to Pennsylvania 56 times. He's been to Florida. He's been Indiana. He's been, you know, he's on the move all the time. Why has he not come back to Colorado? Or why has he never come to Colorado?
Well, those states are in play. Colorado is not in play.
But why wasn't Colorado in
play? Exactly.
That's the reason.
Right.
And when he appeared at the Air Force Academy to hand out the, you know, at commencement, not one of them came. Mm-hmm. They every one of them had excuses. You know, and now to all of you GOPers out there, how come Donald Trump did not come, doesn't come once to Colorado because of how your party bosses treated him? It's the truth. You love him. I love him. You want him to win. I want him to win. But you can't come to terms with what your party is all about. And that's just the truth. Why does Donald Trump not come back to Colorado after that go-round? Because how he was treated.
Mm-hmm.
By your party, by these people you tell me you that are going to win, my foot. 303-696-1971. Tomorrow's Halloween. Tuesday's Election Day. Julie Hayden coming up. Channel 9 has bigger problems, again, image problems. The Denver judge doubts that self-defense claim. Are you a Billy Joe Shaver? Were you a Billy Joe Shaver fan? Your thoughts about Halloween, why you did Wall Street. $74 million the big banks have given to Joe Biden to get elected. Why? Why do these big, all you little screamers in the street who come around and say, we hate capitalism, vote for Joe Biden, why have the banks given $74 million to Joe? 303-696-1971. It is your turn.
If finding a high-impact hire is a serious goal for your business, use Indeed. Their flexible payment options mean better bang for your buck with no long-term contracts. Indeed will even give you a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post at Indeed.com/high-impact. Terms and conditions apply.
Find caregiving support at ColoradoCaregiving.org or call 1-844-265-2372. ColoradoCaregiving.org or call 1-844-265-2372.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
Tomorrow's Halloween, everyone. Friday, October the 30th. There we go. Turn it up a little bit, Billy Joe.
They say my mammy left me. Same day that she had me, said she hit the road and never once looked back.
Huh?
And now I just thought I'd mention my grandma's always pension is the reason why I'm standing here.
The late Billy Joe Shaver. Going on a fast train to Georgia. There you go. We lost Billy Joe, man. And earlier in the week, it was Jerry Jeff. Good morning, everyone. 65 the high for Halloween, 56. Go to the phones. We go to Malcolm on one. Malcolm, you're on a radio show, man. Good morning.
Pete.
My boy.
Malcolm Burke. You might remember, you know me as Burke. You came and did the
brother. Yes.
Haunted show at Peabody Whitehead Mansion.
Yes.
Yeah, boy, I don't know what.
Yeah, man. How are you?
I'm hanging in.
I know. I just remember what a great show that was, and you brought the whole crew. Greg was there, and your daughter showed up, and the other Shannon and Greg. And,
yeah.
And I think Hastings showed up, and we just had a good old night there.
Let me back this up.
Yeah.
Let me fill the folks in. We're talking about, I don't know, we must have done this for 30 years. I'm not sure. And Daryl can't make the show this morning. He just told Billy. And I had this idea about spending the night in haunted houses the night before Halloween. It started out with Ward Lucas and myself and Jim Turner, and I forget. We went out to this, but it wasn't on Halloween. So I came up with the idea, and then we would go and we would find the mansions, Grand Humphreys and Peabody.
Yep.
And you had Peabody, right?
Yeah, I had the Peabody. That's right. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I had the whole. You got the whole crew came in. You had Dr. Noel come in.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Gallagher the next morning. You guys did your show from the, you know, from our front, big room there.
Oh,
we had the table set up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was we all spent the night there with you. That was a very memorable. It was great.
Well, what are you doing now?
Oh, I'm doing well. We're just, you know, just fighting through all this stuff.
Oh,
and, getting through it. But I want you to know my wife and I listen to you every morning. Our
You're
pup
kind.
Wakes us up at 5 a.m. to feed him, and then we turn on Pete.
I remember
first meeting you right after high school, back in the day at the Cherry Creek Athletic, the old Cherry Creek Sporting Club.
Yeah,
called
sure.
the Sporting Club.
Right.
And what we had in common was old Mikey McKevitt. And, you know, my old man was old best friends with Mike McKevitt.
Tiger Mike.
He was Tiger Mike.
Tiger Mike.
And he's like our uncle, and Remember, I remember telling you that I got voting the first time for Ronald Reagan, and I was my first year in college. And then Uncle Mike, I remember telling you the story. He got me tickets to the inauguration, his second term. And I mean, that was just like a dream. Like getting to go to a presidential inauguration was so huge. And
he was a classic.
I don't remember the story, but this is the first year since I think Harding or Taft that the inauguration was canceled because it was too cold. It was 22 below zero. Remember, and they had to cancel it because of the cold, and they took it inside to a lot smaller venue, a lot smaller crowd. So I actually didn't get to sit in at the ceremony. But I got to go to all the balls and festivities that night. But that was a real memorable getting to vote for the first time and for Reagan and going to the inaugural ball with Mike McKevitt.
Tiger Mike, I just mentioned the death of Jerry Jeff.
Yeah.
Tiger Mike and I went to see Jerry Jeff and
oh my God,
caught some backstages and
oh man,
I mean, you know, and Mike, who really Mike was the law, right? So
yeah, he was.
And Jerry Jeff wasn't even close to obeying any law.
And speaking of Jerry Jeff, every time you bring him up, I was supposed to go see him three times through college and high school. And every time
canceled.
I went to see him, he was too drunk to come on.
Well, listen,
stage.
I'll tell
so
you
I
what.
Never got to see Jerry Jeff Walker live.
I tell you, he was friends with
Rainbow Music Hall.
Well, and he was friends with Michael Florwax, who used to be half
that's
of Lewis
right.
and Florwax.
Yeah, Florwax, that's right. That's
and
right.
He and Jerry Jeff were tight. And
yeah,
I went. Tiger Mike and I went, and then Bob and I emceed him. And then, I mean, but you're right. I mean, you didn't know who was going to show up.
No. Rainbow Music Hall, and I remember he was playing with us.
When they opened the Rainbow, and then it closed, and it became a drugstore.
Yeah,
And Barry Fay's great line was, well, for the first time, they're selling drugs legally on this corner.
Right.
I mean, we would, and that's a true story, man. And I was like, that's part of the book. But
that's typical, right.
Yeah, but
it
became a Rexall or whatever it became. And
yeah, yeah.
And Fay said.
And it's funny, my wife, she worked there in high school. She worked the door with tickets or whatever, and she got to see all these great shows.
Oh.
But anyway, the Dylan Denver Times back in the day. That was a great show.
Bob Dylan played there. And
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a big venue. It was like. But
it was Claya, one of a kind.
The Jerry Jeff, and they would always bring. And, you know, a lot of that was Chuck Morris, because Chuck.
Yes.
I mean, Barry had the nuts and bolts, but Chuck had the ear and he had the ear for the music and what was, you know, and Jerry Jeff Walker's an old folk singer. I mean, he's a folkie out of New York.
Right.
And he's not even Jerry Jeff Walker. He's somebody Crosby or something. And then the story about getting jailed in New Orleans for being drunk and meeting the old guy in the cell. And that's Mr. Bojangles.
Mr. Bojangles.
And he actually meets the guy and then Chuck was managing the Dirt Band, and the Dirt Band, you know, covered Mr. Bojangles, that's where, you know, and then but all the other Jerry Jeff stars, you know, L.A. Freeway and, you know, and just just I mean, this Hello Texas, and you know, I just love Jerry Jeff, and now Billy Joe's gone, and Billy Joe was.
Right, no, classic Allman Brothers and Marshall Tucker.
Yeah,
the old good stuff.
All those guys.
I know, all the good stuff.
And they were kind of in the middle when I caught a break, and Bob Prangley teamed me up with Bob Lee, and that just all hit. And that's when we met Charlie Daniels and the Volunteer Jam and Willie and Waylon Jennings played a place called The Warehouse. And we did there, and it was really interesting because the killer, Jerry Lee, and Jerry Lee has a country hit called Middle Age Crazy, and he's back.
Yeah.
And he's back, and we emceed him, and oh, man.
He used to tour a lot with Tom Waits, and the second time I was supposed to see him was down at Ebbets. You know,
Ebbets Field. Ebbets
Field.
Sure. Yeah.
And Waits got to play, and Jerry Jeff.
There's a great interview.
There's
a great interview with Jerry Jeff and his wife. You know, they did it in some Texas place, and they're sitting down talking. And there, and I remember, like, there's a guy named Gary P. Nunn who wrote Going Home to the Armadillo that becomes the theme song for Austin City Limits. And they tell all of these stories about this stuff. And, you know, up against the wall, redneck mothers. And, you know,
they were
that was the Armadillo Kingdom, man, those guys. And so we were lucky enough to meet most of those guys. And
what a treat.
Oh, we met Mickey Gilley. And Mickey Gilley was best friends with this guy, the crazy band. And Bob and I found him. And it was the guy named Chuck Price, big, tough guy. And he had a band called Driving Wheel. And he was tight with Mickey Gilley.
Is Gilley's named after him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's where they feel.
Urban Cowboy.
Back to Travolta.
Urban Cowboy. Mickey Gilley. And Mickey Gilley stories are legion. And we would sit, and these guys would tell us stories. And most of those guys are wonderful storytellers. You know, they'd sit with a guitar and
tell stories. The country storytellers, man, the cowboy storytellers.
Oh, just great storytellers. And then I got around to rodeo guys, and the rodeo guys had better stories. And I was telling somebody a story about we used to take the radio show up to Cheyenne.
Yeah.
And, my favorite story as I'd gained my sobriety. And it's I don't know if you remember Baxter Black or not, but God, I mean, Baxter.
Oh, yeah, Baxter, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
One of the all-time great influences in my life.
Yeah.
And Baxter Black's wife's dad taught at the University of Austin in Texas. And he wrote a book about Bob Wills. He wrote Bob Wills, and the title of the book was The Whorehouse Bells Are Ringing, The Life and Times of Bob Wills. And I said, he was a great guy. And he was so... They're going up, and I gained my sobriety, and I met my ex-wife, and I called Bax up, and I said, "Hey, Bax, I want a little backup to go along." And I said, "I'm going up to Cheyenne." He knew we always went to Cheyenne together, and I said,
"Yeah,
I got a suite in the Hitch," and I got a suite for Cindy Lou's Bax wife, and Bax with that voice, Baxter said, "How long are we gonna be gone?" And I said, "I don't know, 3 days." Bax said, "Why we need a room?"
Because
we were going. Because nobody slept in Cheyenne. I said, "Why we need a room?" And I went, them days are over. But God, I miss those guys. I mean, I think about them, and now when this announcement comes yesterday, the death of Billy Joe.
Yeah, they come in waves. Don't
it does, doesn't it?
And seems, you know,
and Jerry Jeff dies, and you think, man, these guys are. They're something. Yeah. They were something.
Not a lot of them left, that's for sure, the old-timers.
Old Five and Dimers, that's what they called themselves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Man, hey, listen, it's so good to hear this.
And I tell you, we love your show. And what you're doing for your speaking the truth, and there's not a lot of people that are doing that.
Should have been on.
But we love following you, and it's great to reminisce about old Peabody in that time. I remember, I was trying to think, Patty Calhoun came over.
Oh, yeah.
He had the whole host.
Everybody.
The crew there. We had a great Halloween day. We had the kids over the next day, and we had a party downstairs. You know, it's that crazy old building there, you know.
But, that was the time.
Yeah. Listen. And I sold it to a guy. I mean, I'm trying to remember. I think I sold it back in 2012. I sold it to a crazy guy that owned a couple other properties in Cap Hill. He inherited this textile family. His family's. He's got a place in Steamboat, so he comes out here once a week, flies out, gets all of his business done. He's a handy guy, so he carries what he straps on the belt and does work on those buildings himself with his crew. And he bought in that place. You got to drive by it because it's still being worked on. After
you know, I will.
I got to tell
you, I'm going to ride today.
You got to drive by it because it's all fenced off. It's all gated. They haven't done much with it because I think because it's an old historic building, right?
Well, the Grant Humphreys was the scary one.
Another one.
And Tom Noel's on the show this morning. And listen, I got to cut it.
I know. Noel and those guys came by, but that was just reminiscence. Great catch.
You're the
up
best. Thanks, man.
Right.
An email. And I know, would you call the show, Catherine, if she sends me? I know this woman. I had the nightclub in the Oxford. Do I remember? Jerry Jeff played my club a couple of times. I wish I had a good story I could tell on the air. But Tom Waits would come and play a gig at Ebbets Field and then come over to the Oxford and play late night for free, of course. I first met him one Monday afternoon, he and Chucky Weiss. I got Chucky Weiss stories. Chucky Weiss is the guy that Ricky Lee Jones sings Chucky's in Love. It's Chucky Weiss. And Chucky Weiss was tight with again, back to Chuck Morris, and the three of us ran around together. Isn't that great? They gigged Jerry Jeff. All right, back. We're behind. Apologize. It's Friday morning, October the 30th. Julie Hayden coming up. We're going to talk now about a change. And I'll tell you what, there's big problems from Channel 9 in this one. Denver judge doubts the security guard's self-defense claim. Stay here.
Listen live at radio.com. The Peter Boyle Show.
Day before Halloween on a Friday morning, October 30th, 2020. Little spook music in the background. 65 is the high today. It's going to be dry tomorrow, 56. 63 on Sunday. Monday, 70. Now, yesterday, this is really bad news for Channel 9. It really pulls back the curtain. The judge says, I doubt the self-defense claim, which has been something Channel 9 has been promoting since they hired the guy who does in fact murder Lee Tex Keltner. And now they got big problems, bigger problems, because the nine thrust has been, we'll bring in Stanley Garnett and we'll bring in Mitch Morrissey. These are operatives, Democratic operatives, and they're going to try and present the self-defense claim. That blows up. Julie Hayden and I spoke about this yesterday for quite a while. She's on the show. Gruber's on the show. Dr. Tom Noel's on the show. And the beat goes on. 710 KNUS Denver's Talk Station. Made it to a Friday. Hold on your hats. Julie on the other side. It's going to get good.